Good morning. You're listening to the Rise and Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Gareth Jenkinson. Robert Baggs is in New York for NFT NYC, so you'll be stuck with me all week. It is Monday, so we'll be recapping all the news from the Easter weekend. As always, if you want to keep up with the crypto current, smash that follow button, grab yourself a cup of coffee, and let's get into today's episode. We'll dive into Bitcoin first up, that is if there's any left, as Glassnode data shows that nearly $10 billion worth of BTC has left exchanges since Bitcoin's ETFs went live in January 2024. Speaking of Bitcoin ETFs, 9 of the 10 ETFs excluding Grayscale now hold 500,000 Bitcoin as institutional money continues to drive demands for BTC. Ethereum co-founder Vitalik Buterin wants layer 2 scaling protocols to become more decentralized by the end of the year. Consensus has responded to the SEC's calls for comments over the potential approval of ETH ETF applications, and BitMEX co-founder Arthur Hayes says we shouldn't be so quick to dismiss meme coins. Let's find out why. Bitcoin has been flowing out of cryptocurrency exchanges at an alarming rate since the spot Bitcoin exchange-traded funds launched in the United States in January. Data from on-chain analytics firm Glassnode shows that since January 11, over 136,000 BTC has been withdrawn from exchanges. Analysts estimate that over $9.5 billion worth of BTC has been withdrawn from major trading platforms. Exchanges tracked by Glassnode held a combined total of 2,320,458 BTC. That's the lowest amount of Bitcoin held on exchanges since April 2018. William Suberg suggests that this trend isn't slowing down either, with Glassnode data from March 27 reflecting withdrawals of more than 22,000 Bitcoin. That's the third largest daily tally of 2024. The ETF's long-term impact on the available Bitcoin supply and hence price is an increasingly hot topic among market observers. As Cointelegraph reported, several sources now predict that a major squeeze in supply, where demand outpaces the Bitcoin available for sale, will be felt within the next 6 to 12 months. So now that we know just how much Bitcoin has left exchanges, let's chat about the driving factor. 9 of the 10 new spot Bitcoin ETFs have accumulated over 500,000 Bitcoin since launching in January, with their holdings now accounting for 2.5% of the current circulating supply. The 9 ETFs hit the 500,000 milestone late last week, having scooped up $287 million worth of Bitcoin on the 28th of March. This brings the amount of BTC held by the 9 ETFs to a current worth of $35 billion just 54 days after trading began. In total, all United States spot Bitcoin funds, including Grayscale, hold 835,000 Bitcoin, which is almost 4% of the entire supply. Last week's ETF inflows were back in the black, with $845 million of inflows measured, reversing a trend of outflows that began on the 18th of March. On March 28, there was a total inflow of $183 million, with BlackRock leading the pack as its iBit fund saw $95 million coming in. Fidelity and Bitwise saw similar inflows of around $67 million each, while ARK21 shares saw $27 million following a huge inflow of $200 million on Wednesday last week. Grayscale's GBTC outflow was $105 million, which is the lowest that it's been since the 12th of March. The crypto asset manager has now shed around 284,846 BTC from its GBTC fund since it converted to a spot ETF in mid-January. While Grayscale continues to see Bitcoin being sold from its GBTC fund, the asset manager announced a new fund aimed at high net worth clients looking for portfolio exposure to proof of stake cryptocurrencies and the yields that they generate. The Grayscale Dynamic Income Fund will be available to clients with more than $1.1 million in asset under management or a net worth of more than $2.2 million. Grayscale has named 3 proof of stake tokens that will be held in the fund. That is Osmosis, which has a 24% share, Solana, which has a 20% share, and Polkadot, which has a 14% share, while 43% is categorized under other tokens. The fund will convert staking rewards into United States dollars weekly, while quarterly distributions are set to be paid out to investors. Additionally, Grayscale claims that careful analysis will be conducted to select the proof of stake tokens that will be included in the fund's portfolio. The main priority is to maximize staking income from the assets with capital growth a secondary focus, according to a statement from the company. Osmosis is currently offering a staking reward rate of 11.09%, Solana offers 7.42%, and Polkadot is at 11.9%. That's according to data from Staking Rewards. Ethereum co-founder Vitalik Buterin wants to see layer 2 rollups become more decentralized by the end of the year. Buterin's latest blog post focused on the recent Denkun hard fork, which included several Ethereum improvement proposals. Chief among them was EIP 4844, which introduced proto-dank sharding, which significantly reduced transaction fees for rollups on layer 2 protocols. Buterin noted that Ethereum was in the process of a decisive shift from a very rapid L1 progress era. He also said that Ethereum's scaling efforts have shifted from a 0-to-1 problem to an incremental problem, as further scaling work will focus on increasing blob capacity and improving rollup efficiency. He continued to state that the ecosystem standards will need to become stricter. I quote from the blog, "By the end of the year, I think our standards should increase, and we should only treat a project as a rollup if it has actually reached at least stage one." Stage 1 is Buterin's classification of Layer 2's decentralization progress, whereby a network has sufficient security and scaling, but is not yet fully decentralized. He observed that only 5 of the Layer 2 projects listed on L2Beat are either at Stage 1 or Stage 2, and only Arbitrum is fully Ethereum virtual machine compatible. The next step on the roadmap include implementing data availability sampling to increase blob capacity to 16 megabytes per slot and optimizing Layer 2 solutions through techniques such as data compression, optimistic execution, and improved security. Buterin said that further changes such as vertical trees, single slot finality, and account abstraction are still significant, but they're not drastic to the same extent that proof of stake and sharding are. The next phase, called the Scourge, will have upgrades related to censorship resistance, decentralization, and protocol risks from miner extractable value. Developers should design applications with a 2020s mindset, says Buterin, embracing layer 2 scaling, privacy, account abstraction, and new forms of community membership proofs. Blockchain developer Consensus has given its take on a request for comment from the US SEC on potential fraud and manipulation risks related to Ethereum's proof-of-stake system as the regulator weighs up the approval of Ether ETFs. In a letter submitted to the regulator, Consensus, which has contributed significantly to Ethereum's development and maintains the MetaMask wallet, stated that concerns about fraud and manipulation are baseless. In a detailed blog post, Consensus claimed that Ethereum's proof-of-stake implementation meets and even exceeds the security of Bitcoin's proof-of-work, which currently underlies Bitcoin-based ETFs that have already been approved for trading by the SEC. The Ethereum infrastructure firm also highlighted advantages of the blockchain, citing quicker block finality than Bitcoin, a division of responsibilities between proposers and attesters to deter stakeholder dominance, higher attack costs, penalties for validator rule violations, and superior environmental sustainability. Consensus highlighted that Ethereum has a larger developer community than Bitcoin and operates on a fully transparent and public blockchain. It urged the SEC to acknowledge Ethereum's superior security features, surpassing those of Bitcoin-based ETPs previously approved by the SEC. Although spot Bitcoin ETFs have proven exceptionally popular, whether or not a spot Ether ETF will be approved in May of this year remains debatable. The final SEC deadline for approving or denying the next round of spot ETH ETF applications will come on the 23rd of May, starting with VanEck's investment vehicle. Though many experts seem to be optimistic about approval in 2023, some have suggested going into 2024 that the commission could deny applications. Several firms have spot ETH ETF applications pending approval or denial, including Fidelity, Hashdex, and ARK 21 shares. The SEC began approving investment vehicles tied to Ether futures in October last year. Our last story of the day is one for the Doge lovers, the Dogworth hat holders, and the PayPay Patriots. BitMEX co-founder Arthur Hayes has given a very interesting take on meme coins, which have exploded in popularity in recent weeks, saying that Web3 natives should try to see the positive influence on the networks that they launched on. In a March 30 YouTube interview with Real Vision CEO Raoul Paul, Hayes argued that meme coins could bring value to the sector by way of drumming up attention and accruing new users and engineers to blockchain ecosystems.
The chains that can support this culture are going to be the chains that have value. So Solana, and I'm a bit of an ETH maxi in terms of who has the best decentralized internet computer. But at the end of the day, if the Solana price is going up because people are launching these meme coins on it, and a new developer to this space says, oh, this is interesting, I want to develop on Solana because I know I have users. Why does Solana have users? Well, it was a very easy platform, good UI UX to launch these dog money coins. And so it brought attention. So yes, you can, you know, poo-poo these things as stupid and valueless, but if it brings attention, if it brings more engineers to the space, then it's positive value for the chain itself.
Hayes does bring up an interesting point. Last year, Solana network activity exploded after a meme coin frenzy in November, with many non-meme projects launching on the network in the following months. Similarly, network and development activity on Bitcoin has grown significantly after BRC20 tokens and ordinals launched on the network around the same time. Paul believes meme coins would likely grow increasingly popular among younger crypto investors, capitalizing on the gaming mentality present in Gen Z and millennials. Both of these commentators added that the attention flowing into meme coins would continue for some time into the future, with Solana-based meme coin Dog with Hat slated to be projected on the Las Vegas Sphere in sometime in the coming months. The dog-themed meme coin recently flipped Ethereum Layer 2 network Arbitrum in terms of total market capitalization. Over the weekend, the meme token had a market cap of $4.5 billion. Industry executives, however, argue there are countless risks that come along with meme coins. In a March 14th investor note, US investment firm Franklin Templeton wrote that while meme coins may present an opportunity for quick profits, they are prone to risks that arise from lacking any fundamental value or utility. Despite the risks, meme coins have been the best performing asset class within the crypto sector in the last month, according to data from CoinGecko. In the last week alone, meme coins listed on the platform gained an aggregate of 20% compared to 6% for Layer 1 network tokens and 5.4% for DeFi protocol tokens. And that's about it for today's episode. Consider yourself informed. Thanks again for listening to the Rise and Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. Have a great week ahead. I'll be back with you again tomorrow with more crypto news.